greetings, everybody. Pastor Buddy joining you live tonight around the world. WWCR. We're glad to have you aboard here in the late evening hours. Coming to you live and direct from WWCR 5890 on your radio dial. And for those of you that are listening on your computer downloads, we welcome you in here tonight. We got a great program, part three, as we've been investigating the calendar and perhaps maybe a slight hand that has changed over time, because Daniel 7:25, as we look into the text, finds that we're warned in the Bible that that's a possibility. That's why we're doing a detailed, we're trying to conclude this effort tonight, but it will actually begin wise men around our organization looking into perhaps maybe the possibility that the calendar over time has, like, you know, veered off, if you will. Maybe, perhaps, like Daniel said, let me just quote the scripture, 47:25, they shall think. Now, that's premeditated. That's a serious offense if it's in the negative. They shall think to change times and seasons. Well, that's why we're doing a season thing here, and we've looked at nature. That's what we've examined for the last couple of hours that we've spent on the changing, if you will, the spring change, and we're also going to examine the fall change. And we're going to look into the Gregorian calendar to base who's done the changing and the years that they did it, and just perhaps maybe that they are, seem like, from what we can tell here and what we studied, that there is a possibility that times and seasons were changed a little bit. Now, just enough. A little leaven, the Bible says, levels the whole lump. That's what we're looking at, the whole lump. We're checking for the leavening against the Word. You see, we can find leavening in anything that's got no truth. You shall know the truth to get free. It doesn't say that you would practice traditions to get free. And for those who are looking for excuses, well, this is the way we've always done it, and this change brings disruption, and it causes, I realize this, because we're creatures of habit. Once we get accustomed, well, Hitler said it best when he said, when someone tells a lie and goes before the same people every time with that same lie, unyielding, never to consider the truth, often enough that it becomes the norm and it becomes the truth, although it's a lie. Now, a year is not an arbitrary period of time. If we base the year cycle, it's an astronomic reality, is what we need to look at. Not arbitrarily a period of time, but astronomically. That's what we're going to look for. Little signs, and I told you about the stars last night as we look for the change, the sly craftiness of man that's got us used to doing something, and they have crept in unaware. and the Bible warned us that they would. And the astronomic reality, insofar as it represents the time it takes for the Earth to orbit around the sun, that's very important as we look into part of the investigation. And a good calendar, that's what we're looking for. And that's why we're on the lunar calendar. We use the lunar calendar. We don't use the Gregorian. And I'm not trying to defend it or offend it, anybody that does. I'm just trying to investigate it and see where the strength and the weakness of the Gregorian lay tonight, as we're, most people are on the Gregorian recommendation of time. And it's not arbitrary for everyone to believe it. If you can work out a better astronomic reality, that's what I'm hoping that we can do. Now, we know that a good calendar would determine that it takes 365.242, that's almost one quarter, days for the Earth to complete a cycle around the sun. Now, that's what we know so far as science. Instead of adding 2.42 of a day, which would be 5 hours and 48 minutes and 30 seconds to be exact. Now, that'd be a heck of a calendar if it was divisible in equalization. And as we look on how to begin time and how to end time, we're talking about the spring equinox and the autumnal equinox, as we're trying to determine the time that we could mark the fall as we go around the sun, one near it and one away from it. And it takes 5 hours and 48 minutes and 30 seconds of the day that's divisible in that time. And let me tell you what the Gregorian did as opposed to what the lunar does. That's what I know about is the lunar. And I know very little about the lunar because I've been studying it for several years, but the more I learn about it, the more I find I don't know about it. It's a very complicated, worked out by the greatest mathematician, and the synchronicity is what gets me about the lunar. How that there's a divisible time factor. And Yahweh give a clue. I was so delighted when I read Ezekiel chapter 46 and worked out that little formula that we have incorporated into the calendar. He said, well, you're gonna open the window on the new moon, and you're going to open it on the Sabbath. All other days, it's going to be 6 days between those times, and they're going to be closed. And you wrap that around the time period of 365.242, which is exactly 5 hours and 48 minutes and 30 seconds, and divide the calendar that would arrive in honesty. In other words, the great mathematician would be Yahweh, the eternal creator, versus those. And I read this, when I read this, I said, you know, the Bible says that a certain tribe in the 13 tribes that we are looking at, the house of Israel, that there is a tribe that was very gifted in knowing about the heavens, the movements, and this clock thing that we're working out here in the calendar, that they had expertise. It was built in, evidently given to the genetic father and of Issachar. And I said, I'll just watch some of the people that are from the house of Issachar and see what their interests are. And lo and behold, I have met several Issacharians, if you will. And when you get on this subject of the arbitrary period of time versus the astronomical reality, well, you can see, almost see their ears perk up. You get their attention because they're good at thinking about the certain aspects of how to divide time or how the planets work in unity and unison with the Earth as it revolves in 365-242, or 365 and a quarter, as we would round it off. Now, every year in the Gregorian, an extra day is added to the 365 days in the regular calendar. Now, the calendar that we've been examining prior to the calendar that we're looking at here, and we're talking about the calendar that we're examining here, and we're sort of going at it backwards. The calendar of the Gregorian, in 1582, what happened in the month of October of 1582? That's what I want to discuss about. And then I'm going to bring it back. Now, this had to be around the fall equinox and an astronomical reality that they tampered in that particular month, or somebody did, it looks like. Now, I know that, let me give you how they done this, and it's sort of evolved to this point that I'm going to give you the calendar that was changing in by the what we call the Gregorian, Pope Gregory. And see these subtle changes of 1582 when they added the leap year, because the seasons got off. Now, they'd already found this out. Matter of fact, the Julian calendar was revised in the 13th century by Pope Gregory, and they did something there that I found very interesting. You know, I'm a bloodhound when it comes to spiritual matters, and I can catch something real quick if given the time. I'm slow. But you run something by me, and I'll catch something in the writer's hand. It seems to jump out at me. And today I was studying a little bit in the calendar, the times, and I noticed these two little things I'm going to share with you, one in the spring and one in the fall, of subtle changes that was made that not many people catch, including myself. But when you look into something and you're prompted, and the only reason I'm looking into this tonight is brought to my attention by one of my good friends. I've known him a long time. I really appreciate his ability to be a bloodhound and certain simplicity. I love simplicity, and he's got a unique gift to simplify things in such a way that you want to take a look at it. And that prompted the nature call. tonight we're going to continue the theme of our thought in this astronomical reality as it represents time for the Earth to orbit the Sun and devise a calendar that would present itself to the great mathematician creator. It's one thing for Yahweh to hide a matter, but it's another thing for the bloodhounds to search it out. And here we are. Let's see now. We're coming up on, you know, we're way past 2,000 years after the Messiah. This simplistic being, a very humbled, pathetic, you know, nobody, I mean, they just laughed him to scorn about his teaching and everything. But he used the nature in simplicity when he really got down to catch the devil at his devices, because that's what the Messiah knew, that the devil would change times and laws and seasons. And he used the planning and things there, and we're going to get into that. As we go along, we're going to have to teach a long time on this and set some questions. I'm getting questions already back, feedback, by just teaching on this. You get feedback from brothers and sisters that listen to you, and they ask questions, and it brings up other things that you hadn't thought about. And so you add that to the equation, and you're going to find out over time that you've learned a few things in spite of your stupidity, as opposed to simplicity. It's when you really figure things out, it's so simple. Like, how many ways can you fall off a log? It's a plain as, you know, falling off a log, is the old saying. You just let go and fall off. But, you know, that's a little bit complicated if you've ever tried that. Just try falling off a log and see how hard it is to do. But creating by adding one day every 4 years, an extra day was added to the Gregorian, to the 365 days in the regular divisible calendar that they brought out, creating 366 day years. 366 days. This system is relatively accurate, but 242 is not exactly the 250 of a day that it needs to be for the leap day to work perfectly. You see the problem that they had. Over the centuries, the 0.008, in other words, that quarter of a day, 11 minutes, 30 seconds, begin to accumulate. Now what this does, this drives the point that we're marking here, the spring equinox and the fall equinox. It causes those to drift without an allowance for that drifting. In other words, the seasons you could actually be keeping if you didn't ever adjust the calendar, so it has to be adjusted somewhat. Well, what about the great eternal mathematician that could create the perfect timepiece, the sun, and turn and tilt? It's amazing how he can do this. Is his ways past finding out? Yes, but they can be figured out if you'll look at the simplicity of how he done these things. And like I say, the lunar calendar is the most inspirational revelation that I've had since the name. And it's consume part of my time. And I told one of my brothers that I was very close to, we were talking about this, and I made that statement that since I got into the name, you know how excited you get into the truth after you go through the name and you establish the name and you know that you're just breathing in and out, it gives an exclamation on highlighting the sound of his name. The sound went throughout the body of Jacob Israel. Every time he breathed in and out, he exclaimed the name. He just put it in an emphasis that his name is the very breath that we breathe. It's wonderful. But with the accumulation caused by the inaccuracies of the Julian calendar, we'll pick on that one first. Because before the Julian calendar, there was some things in simplicity that I like that I found out since examining the Julian calendar that came to an end in 1582 when Pope Gregory the 13th stated that 10 days in October were to be removed from the calendar. Specifically, he struck the 5th through the 14th from the month, which created a very bizarre October 1582, if you were around back at that time. And you can imagine what people's schedule that were dependent on timekeepers looked like during that month, when all of a sudden, on the 5th, it jumped through to the 14th in 1582. Pope Gregory the 13th, whom the modern calendar is named after, the Gregorian, also established a system to prevent the accumulation from developing all over again. Every 4 years divisible by four would continue to be a leap year, but the years divisible by 100 would not. Smart. They're smart fellows. I'm telling you. You have to give it to the people around Pope Gregory that helped him work on the calendar. I mean, he took all the calendars of the past. I wonder what calendar he took before the Julian calendar. The Julian calendar, it came to an end in 1582. And I just give you an example of what they've done. The inaccurate. Well, if it was inaccurate, and the Gregorian has to be allowed for with this formula working, if this doesn't work, or if this comes into play, this comes into play. It's one of the most complicated things I've ever tried to sit down and figure out, and I've studied the calendar for almost 20 years, looking at it from time to time, and for the last 10 years, or maybe 15 years, I have devoted a lot of my study time to the calendar. Now, aside from the calendar change, Shakespeare, who was alive and well in that time, he wanted to marry, and that's exactly what he done. He wanted to marry Anne Hathaway in Stratford in England. He wanted to marry St. Teresa of Avila, one of the doctors or the great thinkers of the Roman Catholic Church, died on October the 4th, 1582, and was buried the next day on October the 15th. That's just one item that I mean, you know, he died on the 4th and was buried on the 15th. And Graham Swift, in his novel, Waterland, set this example, and so we got historical events of the great changes. Otherwise, it wouldn't be noted, or we'd probably never know it if they hadn't, some of the writers like Shakespeare and others, made mention of it. The bizarre strangeness of the calendar all of a sudden. What was wrong with the time that they kept before, as opposed to it, what they were looking for perfection? And even England did not adopt until 1752 did the nation called Great Britain recognize the Gregorian calendar. Consequently, in the records of Great Britain's American colonies, which would become the United States on September the 2nd, 1752, it's followed by September the 4th, noted in that. So that's a double witness. And Gregory's decree only took effect in countries that gave allegiance to him. Many Protestant states didn't go after the Gregorian, as those Baptists that swear by today, and Methodists, but there was a time when they resisted the Pope, Pope Gregory, and it was late in the 1700s, including in Britain and the American colonies, that adopted the Gregorian calendar. Russia never did implement the Gregorian calendar. The people's czars did in February 1918. But the Red Army had to enforce it as the USSR was formed. And that's why the October Revolution is known as the November Revolution. Now, why did they pick October? Why didn't they pick September? Isn't that a more perfect time? Why did they jump on October? According to Julian's calendar, the rest of the world didn't adopt this change that I've just gave you here until hundreds of years after the calendar was changed. Pope Gregory was responsible for the change in 1582, but it did not interfere with the weekly cycle, we're told. And the seventh day stayed the same, and that was on Saturday. So, you see, that didn't change. And so, since it didn't interrupt the weekly cycle that has been instituted and brought about by the Gregorian, then everything was just one of those instances of countries and catching on or hanging on or changing to the calendar that's used today. Now, it's used today universally. It was, like I say, introduced by Pope Gregory in February 1582 to correct the error in the old Julian calendar that had been accumulating over hundreds of years, so that every 128 years the calendar was out of sync with the equinoxes and the solstices by one additional day. And so the Julian calendar was revised to become more accurate because the calendar was incorrectly determined the date of Easter, we're told. Oh my, now we're getting into a conspiracy here, it sounds like to me. We've already proved that something happened in October, and the equinox was moved back to September a little bit, give or take a week, but who cares? Well, let's go to the spring, sprung calendar. Let's get over to take a look at that. As we know, the date for Easter varies from year to year. However, during that period of time, using the Julian calendar, Easter normally occurred around the first part of the month of April. And in the Julian calendar was likewise approximately the beginning of spring in the northern hemisphere as marked by the vernal equinox. That's why in Western tropical astrology, the tropical zodiac still begins its custom of yearly cycle in the sign of Aries marked by the vernal equinox and the beginning of spring in the northern hemisphere. In 1582, Pope Gregory brushed this thing up. They improved the calendar for the Christian world that was reluctant to adopt it, but finally did. And now even all nations have adopted this religious calendar. You see how powerful they are. And in this calendar, as I said, called the Gregorian, the beginning of the new year was changed. Uh-oh, here we are on the spring equinox. We've got a change. And was now declared to fall on January the 1st for the new year. But listen to this now, the reason more closely aligning to the religious celebration of the New Year with the birth of Jesus Christ. 10 days were deleted from the calendar so that October the 4th, 1582 was followed by October the 15th, 1582, and this caused the vernal equinox, the first day of spring, of 1583 and all subsequent years to occur not in February as was the Julian of nature and all of nature's spirals and the birds of migrational habits. It was changed to March the 21st to mark 9 months. Now, here's why. You go back 9 months, and the confusion is after the 10 days were deleted, we move up the spring equinox to March from a traditional nature's calendar of February of the original equinox, so we get the change on both ends. And now that we get spring occurring on March the 20th, the birds are confused. There's nobody confused but the birds, because people can see on a calendar that figures the time out for them. They're not confused. Well, in fact, they're not, because most of them don't even know when Sunday comes, including myself, because we're in such a confusion about these things. that we are caught up in these times and seasons, and we really don't really know exactly. Again, if you go back to nature, the swallow arrives in February and springtime, and the ancients were closer to nature, talking about the people before the Julian, and the Julian adopted through practices at that time, maybe had just dawned on them that they could use this calendar change so powerful that they could change times and seasons, and Satan could become the king of seasons and times as he dominates through tradition paganism. The dates it's set up, including, of all things, and this is what gets me, is the true equinox, which was kept originally in February the 20th, but now jumped up to March the 20th, so that we could schedule the birthday or the keeping of Passover communion with the birth going back 9 months, and that would have been back in October. See what I'm talking about? Or September. I'm sorry. By changing it, backing it up 10 days or whatever that they done. So this was very subtle in the change, and Jeremiah 8 and 7 comes into play. Again, the sparrow and the swallow and the storks know the time of their coming. It's not messed them up, but it's messed a heck of a lot of Christians that want to keep the true calendar time because they know it's important, because Yahweh said, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, if we go to the formula that Ezekiel was practicing, it's impossible for us to arrive at Saturday or Sunday on the Gregorian calendar as it's stated going back in time. Now, we've done proof to you that the stars plays a very important part of determining these four seasonal, like December the 21st is the winter solstice, and then we have the spring equinox that should have been February by nature, but is now in March, so that we could coincide at a more appropriate time to get Christ born on that December the 25th. They knew that somebody could go back in time and talk about the gestation period, and so they covered their keys or their butts real good into these keys that they took out, these little mathematical keys of time, and twisted them in a way that, these keys that are called cap keys. Now, they're not made specifically for the lock that comes with, the key that comes with a lock. But they're made to be called cap keys that can fit into the lock that the key wasn't made for, but you tap it and it will mate with that lock and open. And the reason that I know about that, I was presented a set of these odd keys and took them up to a locksmith and had a set of these keys made, 12 in all. I thought, that's strange, 12 keys? There's 12 constellations? And it set me to thinking about some things. You know, maybe we've tapped into something here with a key that wasn't really made for these season changes, but they took a key and kept it and made it fit that lock through tradition. And we are susceptible for tradition because we love it. We know that the migrating birds coming home in the springtime was in February. Now, if you look as far back as 650 B.C., these folks that watched these migratory birds started watching the beginning of springtime because it was important in these seasons. And they marked 60 days after the winter solstice instead of 90 that we use today. Difference of about 30 days. And so these master plans, the key here that they use is that springtime is and was originally 60 days after the winter solstice, but they made a new key and kept it into the equinox of 30 days later to open up a tradition that has evolved ever since. And people say, well, it's not important. The calendar, today is the day. Well, it's important for those who set their very life and salvation to know these things. Now, pure light and pure darkness separated from each other by the evening and the morning, by the twilights of both, if you will, which is neither light or dark, 11 hours of pure light from sunrise to sunset at the horizon, with 2 hours of twilight, namely evening and morning, one on each side, and 11 hours of pure darkness, it produces a closer, true equinox. And they understood that because in the fall equinox, Arcturus, the heliacal, rises of the east right before sunrise and rises again in the east 60 days after the winter solstice. But this time it rises after the sun was set in the west and can be seen in the sky all night. Now, we done quoted Hesiod 2,700 years ago in a very specific way when he calls this the end of the year and says that the swallow appears to man at its beginning of spring. And he also says that the days and the nights are equal lengths. And he pinpoints it as 60 days after the winter solstice, which is December the 21st, which is none other, if you count that time and add the 60 days, it's none other than February the 20 or 21st. And Hesiod is describing what he called February the 20th and said that the swallow appears, which is the migrating bird mentioned in Jeremiah chapter, 8, verse 7, and comes in the middle of February. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is moving right along. I can start wrapping up here. And I just don't have enough time. I just wish I had 3 or 4 hours to get into the meat of the message where I just begin to feel the spirit and I better quit. I just get into, wrapped up into, my mind gets in these things and I go sailing, spiritually speaking, over the cosmic time and I see light and darkness on the very first day of the year and the equinox in creation, which was equally divided, just like the poets and the writers, and just like Moses said, and true to form, which is the case with March the 20th, it's not. It also means that Daniel's prophecy in 725 has been fulfilled, that they would change it, and that they would understand that there are two equinoxes to choose from, the same as from two beginnings of the day, the month, the hours, and the weeks to choose from. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been had in so many ways and so many forms with time. And that's why that we study. That's why we pray. We want to become closer. What is a lawbreaker? Someone that figures out how to break Yahweh's laws. Satan loves to change times and laws. And who's the victims of the change? You are. Notice, if you will, that the time and the stars that declare, which we're talking about, that the bear's tail, we're talking about in the Greek sense of the constellations, we have what is called the bear's tail. It rises in the beginning of October. On the 12th, or around the 12th, and ladies and gentlemen, we are getting close to true light and darkness, as Hesod and others describe, as they are talking about nature's way. Even the stars cry out. That's the quasars cry out. What were they crying? Wake up. Look like you people could figure out time as I have figured it out. I'm the one that gives you an equalization. And we read in the book of Samuel, chapter 1, verse 20, we have what is described as a equalization of time, as we're looking at the word tekufu. In the Hebrew word, to talk about the equalization of time. Archurius is prominent in the evening sky in early spring, and the key again is that star begins rising around February the 20th, not March the 20th. So therefore, we would have spring in February according to nature and the star systems that's bearing witness. Well, I hope and trust that I've confused you as much as I've confused myself with this complicated matter. But maybe the simplicity of nature can heal and soothe your understanding, that nature itself would teach you that the sacred year begins when Yahweh said he would, and that it would end when he said it would, and he would mark with times and seasons of sowing and reaping. You know, a lot of people want to reap before they sow, but you've got to sow before you can reap. Did you know that in the book, now a brother called me up, one of my good brothers, that these are people that really give themselves to study. And we were talking about in the fifth chapter of the book of Joshua, or the fourth chapter, fourth and fifth, which we were covering in our conversation. And the Bible says that when they came into the land, they ate of the fruit or the seed that had been sown there by the enemy that they drove out of the land. And it was the time of the flooding of the Jordan. And with these signs in the heavens bearing witness in the festivals of the time of the traditional equinox, the way we're keeping it, tabernacles, we're going to the next year, resulting in only two feasts kept within the year as opposed to three that you're commanded to keep. All three feasts are within the year cycle and in their seasons, and we know that the spring equinox is very important to find that date and to keep his ordinance, as it commands us in Exodus 23:10 and verse 14, 16 and 17, and Exodus 13 and 10, thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. Today is the first day he started them out right. I don't know that people have maintained that right step. I believe something has changed and got us off. We will examine it as time goes on. We'll study on it. If you have any questions or any comments, you could care to present them to Pastor Buddy. I don't have the answer, but we'll seek them out and we'll find them by studying and praying, and let simplicity in nature be our teacher. And that's all that we can ask. If we're wrong, we want to be right. But sometimes you've got to go out of tradition to get right. When they're screaming, when everyone is screaming that you're wrong, and you are looking at the seed time and the seeds that are sown, you can reap a harvest in the same year if you do it correctly as the biblical seed time and seasons, reaping and sowing, sowing and reaping, like night begins the day, and the equalization form that we're looking for, the Tekufu, at year's end. If September 22nd is the year's end, and we're going into the next year of seed time, sowing with the command to keep everything within their season, and in the revolution, the three harvests with these feasts are not to go beyond their season or at year's end. As we are looking at Genesis 26 and 12, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year a hundredfold. And Yahweh blessed him. And the seeds that were sown and harvested in the same year, of course, of the harvest feast, they came out three times in the year, and all males were to appear before him. Let us study and pray and keep his commandments and his festivals and his ordinances in their season. Praise Yahweh. Call me. Pastor Buddy here with you tonight on a Saturday night. You shouldn't be in bed. You should be up studying in the Word when it's quiet. You can't sow when the wind's blowing. Ladies and gentlemen, sow it in the seasons of the time. Praise Yahweh. Now, comment area code 423-351-1082. That's a Pastor Buddy at 423-351-1082. Now, you can write me, if you'd like, a lunar calendar, just right to Pastor Buddy. And boy, Steve's done a good job on the introduction of the lunar calendar, proving, cross-checking himself throughout the calendar. Now, we're superimposed over a Gregorian calendar. We don't make no apology for that. We took the Hebrew count and the Hebrew months and seasons and put them in the right place, superimposed it over a Gregorian where it simplifies it so that you'll know what time it is and you won't keep a wrong time on the Gregorian like a lot of people are doing. You can write Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee. The zip is 37874. Go to our website, oneyahweh.com. That's oneyahweh.com. We've got, Brother Bob has already posted the article that we've got up that we're teaching from tonight, written by Brother Arnold, put together by Brother Arnold, and a lot of historical evidence on this subject. We've done 3 hours on it. We think we've done it just, and we've done it according to the research and standing on the word with nature itself being the teacher. As Pastor Buddy, that's Post Office Box 568, Sweetwater, Tennessee, the zip again being 37874. That's Sweetwater, Tennessee with Pastor Buddy at Post Office Box 37874. Go to our website. We got a lot of information. We have the calendar up there for you people that would like to see the calendar, study it, take a look at it, along with the article that Pastor Buddy's teaching from tonight, all posted, if you will, up on oneyahweh.com. We love you. Around the world, WWCR 5890 on your radio dial. We rejoice in our Creator tonight. We love Him. And we pray that Yahweh would add to those who would seek His face. For my people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. I hope and trust that you can pray and you can see your way clear to determine the true equinoxes, or the starting time, if you will, by the seasonal approach to the three festivals related to Yahweh, and that you would flee from tradition or from something that does this and that. If this is changed from that, this is changed to this. If this happens, you do this. And it's, they have so many formulas and combinations that even Yahweh would, Jesus, I mean, you know, surely, He says, how are my people hard-headed and stiff-necked, swift to do evil and slow to do good? I'll see you around the world here on next Wednesday night on 5890 again, and next Thursday night on 5890 at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. May Yahweh bless you. Thank you.